One of the uniquely American holidays is Thanksgiving. It's an annual reminder of our nation's Christian roots. Many Americans don't know the history behind this holiday, and meanwhile, there are those who blame the pilgrims who initiated our Thanksgiving traditions in America for terrible things that happened to the Indians long after the pilgrims. And in fact, terrible things that were not characteristic of the pilgrims. William J. Federer is a best-selling author and highly sought-after public speaker. And he has written several books, including America's God and Country. And then with his wife, Susan, he's written a whole series about miracles in American history. His website is AmericanMinute.com. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back Bill Federer to the program. Bill, thank you so much for joining us again.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Sure. And so tell us about the tradition of America, and specifically, you know, the pilgrims and the whole backstory, if you will.
Sure. The most common form of government in world history is kings, and it was revolutionary to have a government without a king, and we trace it back to the pilgrims. And so the situation was you had Roman emperors and then kings of Europe, and then Islam was invading Europe. And you had the Muslims surrounding Vienna, Austria. In the middle of all this, the Reformation starts in 1517. And the King of Spain tries to stop the Reformation, tries to stop the Islamic invasion, cannot do both. And after several decades, decides he needs to make a deal with the Protestants. It's called the Peace of Augsburg of 1555. It lets every king decide what's going to be believed in his kingdom. Let's just work together against this Islamic invasion. In the next century, though, different kings believe different things. And then finally you had the Peace of Westphalia, 1648. And you had northern Germany and Sweden were Lutheran. Switzerland, Calvinist. Scotland, Presbyterian. Holland, Dutch Reformed. England was Anglican. Italy, Spain, France, Austria, Poland stayed Catholic. But if you didn't believe the way your king did, you were persecuted, you fled. And so there's this mass migration of people shifting around Europe, spilling from one country to the other, and then eventually spilled over and founded colonies in America. But we focus on England. Henry VIII broke away from Rome. His advisor said, if you're serious about this, you need to stop using the Latin Bible. Get yourself an English Bible. He says, fine, get me one. The German princes have Martin Luther's German Bible that helped them to break away. And so he had William Tyndale burnt at the stake a few years earlier for translating the Bible into English. But now he wants an English Bible. So they take Tyndale's work, polish it up, and they make the Great Bible, which is largely drawn from Tyndale's work. And Henry orders a copy of it put in every church in England. It's nicknamed the Chained Bible because they chained it to the pulpits. It was so valuable. But it's the first time, the common people of England got a chance to read the Bible in their own language. And the king dusts his hands and thinks he took care of the breaking from Rome, but something unexpected happened. People began to read it, began to compare what's in the Bible to this king divorcing and beheading his wives. So a group starts to purify the Church of England. He doesn't like them. He persecutes the Puritans. Several other groups split away, and they call themselves separatists. And you had different versions of them. They largely had a Calvinistic belief system, even Baptist. The difference was on the style of church government. Inside the Anglican Church, they thought, well, you had bishops. But these separatists said that there should not be a bishop over the church, that each church should be independent. And so, but within that model, they had several groups. So one of these Baptist groups says that the church members would vote for the elders and it would be an elder-run congregation. And that was led by somebody named John Smith, S-M-Y-T-H. And they actually went to Holland. And then branching off of John Smith was another of these groups that says, no, the congregation's in charge. You do have elders, but there is someone that is supposed to be the pastor. And so the group that splits away is led by John Robinson. And then they settle in Holland, in Leiden, Holland.
Well, wait. Can I stop you real fast? I never knew of any kind of connection to the Baptists and the Pilgrims. Are you saying that they were fellow travelers as separatists, fellow separatists? Or are you saying that there was some kind of connection between the Baptists and the Pilgrims?
Right. So the Baptists were a new group that was an alternative to a king-run government. It was a congregational model government, and there's lots of different groups of them. They were the founders of the Baptist faith in England were John Smith, S-M-Y-T-H, John Merton, and Thomas Helwys. And so they were starting their little congregations. They were being persecuted. They were chased. They were fled. But one of them was led by John Smith, and then branching off of John Smith is John Robinson. And so the John Robinson church group moved to Leiden, Holland, and we call them pilgrims. And so after 12 years in Holland, that's when – and they did in Leiden, got a chance to rub shoulders with the Jews. The Jews were chased out of Spain. Then they scattered around the world, but a bunch of Jews went to Holland and settled in Leiden, Holland. And they had at the end of the year their day of Feast of Tabernacles, a Thanksgiving type of celebration. And so the these pilgrims would have been exposed to that. But then when Spain threatens to attack Holland, which they did, it was an 80-year war of independence for Holland to break away from Spain. That's when these pilgrim separatists decide to flee to the New World. They were going to go to Virginia. They get blown off course, land in Massachusetts. And the big incident comes when the captain of the Mayflower says, it's too dangerous to sail everyone off the boat. And these pilgrims sort of raise their hand and they say, who's going to be in charge of us? There's no king appointed person in our group. The whole world's ruled by kings. You got Chinese emperors and Japanese emperors and Indian maharajas and Russian czars and Ottoman sultans and kings of Spain, France, and Austria. Other than Holland, which had seven provinces that knit together to break away from Spain, and each province had its own main city, and each city had its own main stadtholder or mayor, but the mayor of the biggest one sort of acted as a pseudo king, but it was a lot of tolerance in Holland. But other than that, the whole world was ruled by kings. And so you have these pilgrim separatists landing there in Massachusetts, and their captain says, I don't know how you're going to do your government, but everybody off the boat. And they don't want to be lawless, and so they come up with their own form of government. It's called the Mayflower Compact. The word compact means covenant. And it says, we, in ye presence of God, covenant ourselves into a civil body politic. So here you have a church group. Right. There were some strangers amongst them, but the idea of their government was a church idea. So you have a church group forming itself into a political group. You have a church group forming itself into a civil body politic. And then the next line tells why. To enact just and equal laws, as shall be thought most meet or necessary, unto which we promise all due submission. This was revolutionary. This was a polarity change on the flow of power on planet Earth. Instead of top-down rule by kings, it's bottom-up rule by we, just us in this little boat. We're going to covenant together, and we're going to make laws, and we're going to submit to the laws. In the womb of this little Mayflower is conceived the child of self-government. Now, these ideas came from this Protestant Reformation, this Calvinist form of government, where you didn't have a top-run hierarchy of a king. It was the people deciding. In England, they did get their chance to do this. It's called the British Commonwealth. And from like 1640 to 1660, they had an American experiment over in England. But they brought the king back. And so it didn't last long. But in America, we had a 3,000-mile ocean. We got to keep the experiment going. And so you had a situation in New England where you had pastors and churches founding communities. You had a pastor, John Lothrop, and his church founded Barnstable, Massachusetts. A pastor, Thomas Hooker, and his church founded Hartford, Connecticut. A pastor, Roger Williams, and his church founded Providence, Rhode Island. This was a little greenhouse on the planet. Pastors and churches founding communities, coming up with the laws for the communities. And so one of the ones I like to look at is Hartford, Connecticut.
And well, so well here wait. We only have about 4 or 5 minutes, and I absolutely want to focus on pilgrims and Thanksgiving. So,
okay, well, we'll skip Thomas Hooker.
Yeah, yeah, he's so good one for another day. Yeah, Connecticut, good.
So the pilgrim idea is this covenant concept. You get rights and blessings from God, and you take care of your neighbor, and you're fair to your neighbor because you're accountable to God, right? So it's a little triangle, and it was a voluntary thing. So John Winthrop tells the people there, says this, we must be a company professing ourselves fellow members of Christ, make one another's condition our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together. The God of Israel is among us. So they adopted this from the Bible from that first 400-year period of Israel out of Egypt before King Saul. And so this is that was the first instance where you had a nation with millions of people and no king. The people finally decided they wanted a king, and they got King Saul. But America's colonial founders in this Calvinist Protestant movement looked to that as the perfect model of God's original plan for people, is to rule themselves without a king, by everybody being taught the law and being accountable to God to follow the law, but then in a covenant with each other. So the pilgrims came up with this idea, and it was an alternative to kings, and it worked, and it turned into what we have here in America. That's why we look to them as the sort of the spiritual founders of our country. What makes America great is each person gets to be the king with a little k, the king of your life. All of us together are the king with the little k of the country. And then you have the voluntary opportunity of surrendering your life to Jesus, the King of Kings. But it's a voluntary thing, bottom up. It's not, I'm going to burn you at the stake, king force, top down.
Wow, that's fantastic. By the way, I should have mentioned one of your other books was called Who is the King in America? And it deals exactly with a lot of this what you've been talking about. Okay, so what happened at harvest time 1621 in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which became the genesis of our original Thanksgiving? And please underscore the friendly relations that the Indians had with the pilgrims and vice versa. It was really a wonderful model in the way it should have always been, but unfortunately wasn't later. But you can't blame that on the pilgrims. Okay, so we have about 2.5 minutes left.
Yeah, so, Spaniards captured Latin and South America, and they were they were not religiously motivated necessarily. But you had New England, and these were religious people. The first winter, half of them die. An Indian named Squanto comes out of the woods, speaks to them in perfect English because he had been captured, made a slave over in Europe and England, and then finally made his way back there, only to find his whole tribe was dead. And Squanto teaches them how to plant corn, catch fish, puts them on friendly relationship with the other Indians. He's their interpreter. The first winter, half of them starved to death. The next winter, because of Squanto's help, they had a great harvest. And then they had the Indians show up with their deer, because they would catch the deer, and then there were turkey, and then there were cranberry sauce and all kinds of stuff. And the first Thanksgiving went on for a day. Then the Indians rolled up in their blankets and went to sleep. The next day, they were still there. And so the Thanksgiving went on a second day, and they ate together, spent the day together. And then the sun goes down, they roll up in their blankets. Then the next day, so the first Thanksgiving went on for 3 days. And it's interesting because the year after that is when Squanto died. And William Bradford says that they were exploring out in the bay, a freezing rain came, they put in a little island, and they all were shivering. And he says, here Squanto fell ill of Indian fever, bleeding much at the nose, which the Indians take for a symptom of death. He begged the governor Bradford to pray for him that he would go to the Englishman's God in heaven. So here's Squanto experiencing being around the pilgrims as their interpreter, and he says, I want to go to your God. But a fascinating story, and it was good relations. You had Virginia, which had some fighting with the Indians.
Yes, they did. And we have about 40 seconds left. And how about the fact that Washington was the first president under the Constitution to declare a day of Thanksgiving? And then it was Lincoln who made it an annual holiday. How about a 20-second closing thought, AmericanMinute.com, from Bill Federer on Thanksgiving in America? 20 seconds.
Yeah, well, just this idea that we're alternative to king. That this is an anomaly that takes place. So you get to be all that God made you to be. You have the freedom to pursue your dreams and desires, marry who you want, go to the church you want. But all these freedoms came about from a church plant. So basically our country started as a church plant. And we do have reason to thank God for the freedoms that we have in America.
All right, Bill Federer, thank you so much. All the best and happy Thanksgiving.